kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice. Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Somebody shout good.
Good.
When you go to a game, there are two types of people. There are participants and there are spectators. The participants are those who are actively involved in the game. The other group, the spectators, consist of those who are watching, cheering, sideline coaching, and even criticizing the players. The same is true in the church. There are two types of people, those who are participants and those who are spectators. So the question then becomes, which one are you? I'm not going to ask you to answer that, but I just want you to think about it. Do any of you believe that the job of the church is not to just impact the church, but our job as the church is to impact this community and the world around us? If you agree, or if you don't agree with that statement, let me see by raise of hands. See, that kind of confused you, didn't it? I said, if you agree or if you don't agree with that statement, show me by raise of hands. So that means that every hand in here should be raised. But I take it by show of hands that most of you agree with that statement. So I'm going to ask those of you who agree with that statement, if you would repeat after me, I have
a position
to play.
I am
a game changer. All right. Give yourselves a hand clap of praise. See, I have to help you with the easy stuff. Today begins a sermon series called Get in the Game. The title of this particular message is called Game Changer. It's very appropriate since today is our Michigan State Sunday. Will it be the Wolverines or the Spartans? It will be interesting to see if anyone stands out on either team and makes a game-changing play. We know a couple of years back, about 4 years ago for Michigan, there was a game change that occurred and we were very upset. We know that on last year, there was a game change that played and Michigan State fans were upset. So we know that there are game changers. So I'm wondering, what will be the game changing play in the upcoming game? You know what I'm talking about, the kind of play that reverses the momentum of the whole game, the kind of play that takes people by surprise, the kind of play that requires great heads up, anticipation, and athleticism, the one that perhaps wind up becoming the winning play of the game. One person can make a great difference, whether a positive one or a negative one. Yes, just one person can become a game changer and literally change the world around them. But being a game changer is nothing new. Somebody say nothing new. Now, a lot of times when I ask you to say something to repeat after me, I ask you to do that just so I can draw you back in and make sure that I have your attention. But being a game changer is nothing new. The Apostle Paul was a game changer. He was a game changer before he became a Christian. But in that particular case, it wasn't in a good way. He persecuted the church. He imprisoned Christians, even had them killed. People were afraid of him. He didn't only make threats against the church, but he carried them out. But when Paul came in contact with the ultimate game changer, his life was dramatically changed. Paul became a game changer in a good way for the kingdom of God, as his preaching, his passion, and his personal life became a compelling example for all those who he would encounter. So from his experience, he wrote the words to us in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 21, encouraging us how to be game changers, encouraging us how to walk as game changers in this particular life, encouraging us how to walk as game changers in this life, as game changers for the kingdom of God. Somebody say kingdom of God. Paul wasn't just a game changer, but he was a world changer. As Christians, you and I were born to be game changers, world changers, to change our community and this world. In our age of instant and global technology, you and I have the capacity to be game changers every day and to radically change the world. The impact we make with our lives has the capacity to travel around the world and to change the lives of others. That's what being a game changer is, one that impacts the lives of others. Even when we don't realize it, I want you to know that you are a game changer. Even if you don't realize it, I want you to understand that God is using you as a game changer. When you took on the name of a Christian, you became a game changer. God is always up to something, and he is always doing more than we know. In every situation, in every event, in the life of this church, this community, the state, the country, and the world, God is always doing something, and he used people like you and like me as the game changers. That's why it's so important for us to get into the game, be a part of the team. Being a participant is very important. Together we are strong. Somebody say, together we are strong. Great teams work together. I came across a story about Michael Jordan when he re-entered the NBA in 2001. There was a new and unusual rule enforced during the Washington Wizards basketball scrimmage, a no-shooting rule for Jordan. In one exhibition match, Jordan's teammates, they stood around and they waited for him to perform. The following day, Jordan and his coach, Doug Collins, put a stop to that. Jordan said, "Everybody wants to sit back and watch, but one reason why we became such a successful team in Chicago was that we had played as a unit, as a team. No one on the team could just stand around and watch others perform. They must be actively involved in the game, maybe even be a game changer." He said, "What makes me more effective is other guys stepping up and being a threat. If I'm the only threat, then I'm doing all the work, and obviously that's not going to work." Jordan held fast to the no-shoot rule, even with the outcome of the scrimmage on the line. He was passed the ball from his teammates, and his team was trailing by one in less than 5 seconds left, but he didn't take the open shot. He passed the ball to another team member because he wanted others on his team to get involved in the game. How many Christians act as spectators of the ministry when God has called them to be participants, even game changers? Remember, together we are strong. See, God calls us to get into the game, to stop being spectators and to assume responsibilities. Far too often, kind-hearted and decent people have watched from the sidelines when they have so much to offer God, when they should have gotten involved. Have you ever said that you wanted your life to count? Have you ever said that you wanted to make a difference? If you've ever thought or said that, then the shoe fits. But don't worry, because now, somebody say now, you, game changer, can get into the game. Far too many people, when it comes to God, have become less than lethargic. They have become motionless and immovable, but now it's time for you, you game changer, to get into the game. If you are watching a game and there is no action, most people would say that that game was boring or it was dead. But that's not the way God intended for his church to be. Because if we believe what the Bible says, if we believe that the word of God is true, as we look around, we know that we can no longer just sit by and hope that things will get better. We have to be the game changers and encourage things to get better. We can't just watch from the sidelines and see people around us in need of what we have and not offer it to them. If Jesus has made a difference in our lives, don't we think or have the confidence to know that he can make a difference in the lives of others? We cannot win the battles to right wrong, point the lost souls to Jesus, impact this community, or make disciples of Jesus Christ from the sidelines. No game is won if all the players only sit and watch. Action is needed. Involvement is required. We are called to get off the sidelines and into the game. Game changers are participants actively involved in the game. We are called to love God and to love people. Somebody say it with me. I am called to love God and love people. Did you know that love is an action word? It's not just what we say, but it is what we do. If someone is hurting, we must do as the Good Samaritan in Jesus' parable. If we see someone about to destroy their lives with wrongful choices and addictive behaviors, we can be the game changer and share the love of Christ and show them that there is a better way. If we see injustices and immorality prevailing in society, we can be the game changers. It is an injustice to Jesus' instruction to be the salt and the light in the world if we just sit by the sidelines and do nothing. We are to be examples of what it means to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We must act. We must stand for Christ and be the light and the salt in our homes, this church, this community, and the world. Where is God calling you to stand? What game is he begging you to enter? What cause is he pushing you to take up? How is he encouraging you to be a game changer? You know, I came across some words from William Carey. He said, expect great things from God means to attempt great things from God. On a team, if one wins, the whole team wins. And the same is true. If one loses, the entire team loses. We can no longer be comfortable in our seats. We can no longer be trapped in our own comfort zones. I know all of us have comfort zones because I have them. All of us have comfort zones that prevent us from participating. Some of us surround ourselves with them. Some of us live in them, and some of us visit them, and some of us have learned to ignore them. But I believe that God is challenging us and asking, will you step out of your comfort zone, be a game changer, and get in the game? See, the definition of a comfort zone is when one gets used to doing something, when one has done something in a particular way for a while, or when one just doesn't want to change. Those are the times that we find ourselves in a comfort zone. When a comfort zone develops, that can make us feel so secure. We never want to change the way we've always done things. And so often we can become scared of what might happen if we move out of our comfort zone. So often we can become afraid of what might happen if we move out of our comfort zone. But do you think LeBron James is limited by a comfort zone? Do you think Serena Williams, Roger Federer, Tom Brady, or Rafael Nadal were limited by comfort zones? Do you think Daniel was limited by a comfort zone being put in the lion's den? Do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were comfortable in a fiery furnace? Do you think Jesus Christ was comfortable on the cross? Yet they were all game changers. And they teach us, it is not about us being comfortable. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about us sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about being game changers and getting into the game. So often we settle for something easy and routine instead of striving for the best of what God wants for us. We have been called to trust God. We have been called to follow God. Jesus promises that in whatever situation, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, he will be right there with us, for he promises to never leave us or forsake us. Yet we find ourselves fenced in by our own boundaries. We hide ourselves. We trap ourselves. We convince ourselves that we are not game changers, that we feel safe in our own comfort zones. And in our comfort zones, we can choose to ignore God. We hide ourselves so deep we ignore his voice, but that won't get us to where we need to be. That won't get us anywhere. Why is it that we can trust God to take care of the huge things in the world, but we cannot seem to trust God in the little things within our own lives? Know this, God is at work, yet we ignore the fact that God is at work. Let me say that again because it might have went over somebody's head. God is at work, yet we ignore the fact that God is at work. God is operating right in front of our faces. God is doing things that are vital in our lives. God is at work in us, in our families, in our church, in this community, and in the world. And he is inviting us to join him. He is inviting us to be a part of his team. He is inviting us to be game changers. Remember, some of the best things happen when we are uncomfortable. Think about athletes. They don't become athletes by doing what is comfortable, but they push and they go the extra mile. Be a game changer. Successful athletes take personal responsibility for their success. It's not just about them showing up for practice. These game changers are learning off the field as well as on the field. They are also getting their bodies in shape. They are watching what they eat. They are reading up on the game. They are looking at others who do what they do better in hopes that they can learn something from them. They are putting in time on and off the field. I believe that players who are playing in the Michigan versus Michigan State game will tell you that they are eating, sleeping, and breathing football. Because that's what it takes. I believe that God wants us to do small activities to challenge ourselves out of our comfort zones. Try becoming familiar with discomfort and clearly visualize success. You know, comfort zone Christians never experience the fulfillment of what Jesus promises in John 14. The promise of doing great things as believers. The promise of being a game changer. Listen, Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter, starting with verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father, a game changer. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Getting out of our comfort zone, getting into the game, allows us to bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. It doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives within you now and later will be with you. In Jesus' words, he says, those who trust in him, to those who follow him, to those who obey God, to those who allow the Holy Spirit to work in them and through them, great things are going to happen. So the question becomes, are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to be a game changer? Isn't Christian life about stepping out on faith and serving an almighty, all-powerful, the all-knowing God whose boundaries are limitless? Or is your Christian life limited by your own comfort zone? Game changer, I believe that it's time for us to get into the game. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen.